much for that privilege and that honor. God, I pray that you move me out of the way.
Yeah.
You have my permission to take me and move me out of the way so that your word can be spoken today, that you can be glorified, and that your spirit can move in all of our hearts so that we can draw closer in partnership with you.
Yeah.
We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And then the second most important thing is, I'll take a picture of everybody.
Yeah. Oh,
all right, all right.
Are we out of
On three, you can wave, all right? One, two, three.
Dang. Great job.
All right. If you don't know me, and even if you do know me, my name is Daryl Sinclair Jones.
So come on, Sinclair.
I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm the shepherd of the mighty New Jersey
That's
campus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Forever.
I'm an art teacher that is on summer break.
Yeah.
And I'm a former and sort of current television animator.
Yeah.
You may not have known that. The title of my message is A Deeper Partnership. We've been doing a summer series on growing deeper. And so my focus is going to be on a deeper partnership with Jesus.
You got it, Daryl.
Okay. I just got back from PAC. PAC is Performing Arts Camp, and it was a lifetime awesome experience. I will never forget it. It was wonderful. You know, it's funny, camp stories, you hear a lot of, oh, I had to surf so hard, and there was no running water, and there was no showers, and there was... It wasn't all of that, but it was epic.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was epic. The food was really good. Patricia was killing it.
Yes. Come on, Patricia.
Even like the recycled stuff was great. You know, you had pork one night and then you had pulled pork for lunch the next day. It was still good.
Yeah. That's true.
Because it was good last night, so it'll be good tonight, right?
Yeah.
So it was really good. It was a great time. Performing arts, obviously, is when, you know, you've got people that have talent and they're taking their talents. And everybody, all the teachers were like industry professionals.
Wow.
You know, we had the musical director from Hamilton.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, she's a disciple. You didn't know that. Yeah. Right? And she's there and she's teaching the kids how to do Skylar Sisters. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And so they performed it, but you've got the real person that's doing it, teaching it. It's like, what a lifetime experience, right? And then we've got people from television and movies coming in and just giving their expertise to these people that are kind of disaffected from camp. They don't like camp because they don't want to run around and do sports, you know, and you know, but they get to come and they get to improve their craft. They get to act, they get to sing, they get to dance, they get to learn video. And I was there doing art. And so it was great. But on the idea of talents, I want to take a look at a scripture.
Okay.
I'm going to read to you Matthew 25:14. I do want you to turn there.
Wherever you want, man.
Come on, Daryl.
Let me know when you get there. It'll probably be before I do.
Well, I'm here, bro.
Amen.
Come on, Charles.
I'm ready for you, man.
Right. Okay, 25:14. Again. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant! Exclamation point.
Okay.
You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant! Exclamation point. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man.
Well,
harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Exclamation point. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has, sorry.
It's all good?
Yeah.
5 talents.
Now I'm here. One who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant out, side into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mm. All of Matthew 25 focuses on the return of God. That's right. Kind of the context, all right? So in Mark 13, we see one of Jesus' disciples kind of ignite Jesus to focus the disciples on the age to come as he prepares for his death. So Matthew records 3 consecutive parables that speak to how we need to live while we anticipate the coming of the end of the age. Mm. The parable of the bags of gold comes in between the parable of the virgins and the parable of the sheep and the goats.
Okay.
All right. First thing we notice, okay, is that these gifts, these things that people were entrusted by God to or from, or however that works, pronouns, is according to their ability.
Right.
All right? It's like God doesn't give you what you're not able to handle.
Right.
Okay.
All right? So, boom. We've got that. Jesus shows us how God views our time spent on earth. He wants us to invest all he has given us and make it double.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
It's double or nothing. So I looked up double or nothing. And that's kind of like a bet. You know how you bet somebody something and then you lose?
Yeah.
And you go, okay, double or nothing. And what you're saying is, hey, look, if I win this bet, then we cancel the old bet.
Right.
So, but what's happening here is that God has already canceled our debts, right? And so he's looking to us then kind of free of worry or doubt or anxiety to go and double them.
Right.
It's almost like backwards, right? Okay. But Jesus, God has already forgiven our debt, so it only makes sense to double his investment in us.
Right.
Jesus says that the good soil will produce 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. But the focus of this parable isn't the doubling. Jesus contrasts the attitudes of the servants. Okay, that's really kind of where the focus is. Okay, so the first two went at once and put the money to work. And so first we see that one of the attitudes here is eagerness. It's like, are you eager to do what God wants you to do? It's like, do you wake up in the morning like, gee, I got to share my faith today.
Wow.
Hey, look, I feel that way sometimes. I wake up and like, man, I got to go talk to people. Coming back from camp, you definitely feel that way.
Right.
It's like, you're there with disciples. You're hanging out. You don't have any kind of worries about anything.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you got to come back and be with people with their attitudes and their problems and all that other sort of stuff. It's like, oh man, seriously? You know, even driving home, people cut you off on the highway or whatever, zooming by you. It's like, man, I can't even get like a mile from this place. But, okay, but it's not for our pleasure. It's not for our self-exaltation, okay? we've got to want to do what God wants us to do.
Right.
All right? So here, if we think about the talents that we have, it's not for us. Okay? If you think about the attitude, it's like somebody gives you something, well, then what do you do with it? Do you share it?
Right.
You know, like the whole pack of gum thing. Are you mad when all your gum is gone when you open that pack of gum? Yeah. Or are you so grateful that you got a chance to share it with everybody? Look, you know, you open up the Oreos, that's and it's like, you want one?
Right.
And when you're done, they're all gone. But that kind of comes on the front end. It's like, what are you thinking about? Was it given to you? Did you have it before it was given to you? Mm. Should you have an attitude after it was given to you, now that it's gone? Right. Did you at least get one? Wasn't that one more than you had before? Mm-hmm. Okay. But that's how it works. You know, God has given us talents. And the guy that buried into the ground, I kind of think of how the world thinks of talent. Mm. Okay. I was looking up talents, and then I saw, you know, America's Got Talent, and then there was a guy, I think it was just this past week, he was singing a Whitney Houston song.
Yes! Yes.
And he killed it! He killed it! It was, you know, and it was like, wow!
Yes.
But who got the glory for that? Mm. He did. Mm-hmm. And then where do we want that to go? We want to see him succeed.
Yes.
And then we want to... And then when he gets a record deal, we want to buy his albums. Mm. And we want, you know, it's like, yeah, I remember him when, kind of like Adele. Or, you know, it's like, but what's happening is what the world does. And it takes God's talents and it makes us want to idolize it.
Mm. Right.
Mm. And we turn it into an idol. Mm. Or that you've got it now and you turn it into an idol. Mm. Okay, you need to idolize me. Look what I can do. Well, where'd you get it from?
Right. Mm.
Oh, my mom would say, uh-huh. Okay. But where did she get it from? Mm. Okay, well, where did his uncle, her uncle get it from? It came from God.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So what are you gonna do with it?
Right.
Yeah.
Are you gonna double it? You don't double it when you keep it to yourself.
Right.
Okay, look, I made money from it. I got fame from it. I got attention from it. I'm now connected to the world. I'm accepted. I got mad followers on IG. I got, my Facebook is blowing up. Okay, well, how does that benefit God?
Mm. Yeah.
How have you returned it to him?
Wow.
You dug it in the ground. Mm. You kept it for yourself. And you exploited it. But that's not what God wants us to do with our talents. Yeah. He wants us to return them, okay?
That's good.
Thank you. So I have a quick story. There was up at PAC, there were just so many different people that shared. And there were so many different stories about, man, I was confronted with either going to church or making a rehearsal with this famous choreographer. I said, you know what? I gotta go to church. And they talked to the choreographer and said, okay, well, boom. You know, got to do what you got to do. I'm spiritual too, so I guess go ahead, do your church thing. So you go to church, and then on Monday you come, and you're getting ready to be with the ensemble and practice with them. But then the choreographer said, well, you know, I need you to stand over here for a minute.
Oh.
And you're like, uh-oh. And so everybody's learning their stuff, and you're still watching them because you know you need to know it. But then when they're done, he pulls you over and says, okay, follow me. And so he starts teaching you this stuff, and it's like, well, what's going on? Well, that person gets the solo. Because they weren't there practicing with the ensemble last time. That's the gift from God when you put him first.
Wow.
It's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their attitude was like, you know what? I'm going into the fire because I'm not obeying you. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, whatever happens, happens. But just know this, God has the ability to save me.
Right.
And so it is with her. This person went and said, okay, I'm not going to go. I got to go to church. She wrestled with it. She prayed about it. But then, boom, she went. Back when I was doing television animation, I was out of work for a nice long time.
Wow.
And I was doing temporary jobs, you know, secretarial, data entry, you know, and it was frustrating. So I get a call and like, hey, we're working on a new animated series. We would really like for you to help us out. I'm like, yes!
Wow.
I'm done with this dumb stuff. I can go back to doing what I know how to do. And they said, yeah, you know, it's about these two people and, you know, they kind of get into these wacky misadventures and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, wait a second. This sounds like Beavis and Butthead. Like, yeah. You heard about it? Oh, yeah. I know because I used to watch the such and such. And, well, you know, when can you come in? I said, you know, let me think about it. I thought about it. And I was like, look, I can't have my name on that. I'm a disciple of Jesus.
Right.
And now, as a result, I don't have to go to sleep worrying about when the guy threw the bowling ball off the, because they're imitating what they saw in Beavis.
Mm.
You know, it's like I have a clear conscience now.
Right. Yeah.
And he's since given me everything that I need to live, and I have no regrets.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you know, the television credit rolls, and you can say that, and you can tell somebody that, and they go, wow, that's really cool.
Right.
Then what? I've got TV credits. And so my kids go, does that make you famous? I'm like, no, I don't know. Does it? And if it does, what does it mean?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we get all kind of hung up on that when what does it really mean?
Right.
So.
Come on, Daryl.
Okay. In the other two parables, the people that were excluded from eternal fellowship didn't know God. Okay. We said, you know, we see at the end, at the parable of the virgins, they close the door and they say, away from me, I never knew you. And then with the sheep and the goats, you know, he says, away from me, I never knew you. Okay, but then, but here, what was this guy's problem? He accused God of being unfair.
Right.
He says, I know you, bruh. You reap where you haven't sown.
Right.
You know, you collect where it ain't really you.
Right.
And these are unjust accusations, obviously, because you're talking about God.
Right.
But God doesn't even bother correct him. He says, oh, really? Well, if that was the case, this is what you should have done.
Wow.
He's not even taking away your excuse. He's saying, he doesn't make it about him. He puts it back on him and says, look, dude, this was what you should have done if that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't even do that. And so where are our hearts? You know, where, you know, when we make excuses,
right,
they're not gonna stand. Because it's not about the excuse, it's about what God wants and our hearts in response to that.
Right.
There was a song a long time ago in the 80s that said, you found an excuse to walk away, but you couldn't find a reason.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you've got an excuse for something, but really all that is defense for your heart so that you don't have to do what you know you're supposed to do.
Mm.
Things are going to come up. Like, like God is even saying, hey, look, even if I was a hard man, this is what you could have done.
Right.
So for us, where's our heart at? What do we want to do? What do we want to see happen?
Question.
Okay. So.
It's good, Daryl.
Thanks. In Hebrews 12, okay. 14 and 15, you have to turn there. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If you're feeling bitter toward God about something, something's not going your way. So, you know, you're feeling some type of way about something that happened. Well, God, you're in control of everything, so what's good with this? What do we need to do? We need to resolve it. We need to go to God in prayer and wrestle with him. If you think about Israel, he had to go back and see his brother Esau.
Right.
And he wasn't fired up about that. And so he had this plan. He's going, okay, I'm going to send all my stuff. I'm going to send all my kids. I'm going to send all my wives ahead. And hopefully that'll appease him, but ultimately I'm gonna have to confront him. And when it came time for that to happen, what did he do? He wrestled with God until daybreak. When was the last time you wrestled with God for more than 5 minutes? When we have Jesus' example in the garden where Jesus says, hey, look, take up your cross daily and follow me. But we're feeling some type of way about something and we're not taking up our cross because we haven't surrendered our hearts.
Wow.
Jesus had to fight to surrender his heart.
Right.
He prayed for 3 hours.
Yeah.
What are our quiet times like? Yo, I got my 10 minutes this morning.
Wow.
It's not the length of time. But it's the surrender. And if Jesus took 3 hours to surrender something, there's going to be times when it's, that half hour quiet time ain't going to get the job done. Mm. You got to get, that's my biggest fear for the campus ministry, in all honesty, is that we're good at getting together. We're good at being friends. We're good at, you know, hanging out. Right. And I think that you guys are amazing. I want to be like you. I want to be like you when you grow up, when I grow up. Pronouns again. But the whole thing is that we've got to get down and we've got to surrender to God the stuff that isn't surrendered. Mm. You know, Kyrie did a great job in spiritual disciplines. Where's the fasting? Where's the God? This has got to be different in me. I know it's not right. I know it's not pleasing to you. Otherwise, what happens is we get bitter.
Right.
And then we look at him and go, well, you know, I knew you were going to say this about this and that about that. And that's not where we want to go.
Right.
Come on, Daryl.
Okay, so I'm gonna land this plane.
Come on. All right, bro.
Well done, good and faithful servant, are the words that we want to hear at the return of Christ. So how do we ensure that that will be said about us? We need to go at once and put our talents to work. Mm. Well, what talents do we have? Well, most of us here are in college. I don't think, my last check, it's something like only 10% of Americans go to college.
Right, that's true.
Okay, it's not, everybody don't get to go there. So you're kind of like in the top 10% of Americans as far as education goes. That's a talent. Apply it, put it to work, get good grades, be a light. It's what God called you to do. He says, according to your ability, if you got accepted, then you're able.
Yeah.
It's not a fluke that you're going. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Mm. So, what other talents do we have? Can you encourage? Sure. Yeah. Can you be a friend to someone? Yes. Do you have money to give? Maybe not. But the little that you do have, you can, right? Like the Oreos? All right, well, if you've got 2 cents, you can give somebody else one. Okay? Can you get with people? Yeah, we're on break. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We will share in our master's happiness when we do what God asks. Mm.
Okay.
Right.
God gave us a mission to seek and save the lost, but he also gave us a purpose, which is to love and to glorify him. When we work at this with all our heart, we share in our master's happiness. Mm. John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends.
Yeah.
For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Paul, the apostle, heard something that I'm not sure the other apostles heard because he's the only one that quotes it. What he says is, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah.
And that's a quote from Christ. It's because it's in the red letters when you read it in the book.
Okay.
All right, well, what does that have, you know, help me pull that all together, Daryl. What I'm saying is this. When you go out and you give, when you go out and you live that life, then you'll know your master's happiness.
Mm.
If you're not living that life, then you don't know it. Mm. You don't have it. It's not in you, and you, and as a result, you suffer. Okay? So boom. Here we go. Coming in for a landing.
Keep going, man.
Come on, Daryl.
Jesus doesn't call us whatever. He calls us friends.
Right.
If we participate in what God wants us to do and not get bitter, and we surrender our hearts to God, then we know the master's happiness. My happiest times is hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
I love being here. Why? Because I get to serve with people who appreciate my service.
Yeah.
And then there are times when, you know, you're not really appreciating it because you're not in a great place, but then later on you appreciate it because you come back to where you need to be.
Mm. Right.
It's, I know that it's encouraging to you, and it's super encouraging to me. I love being here. When I was at PAC, I had the best time. Why? Because it's giving 24/7. You wake up ready to give. During lunch, you're serving. Afterwards, you're teaching. After that, you're encouraging this person's son. You're helping them. It's a continual life of giving. That is the life that is the master's happiness.
Right.
If it's not making you happy now, find out what's in the way. Move it out of the way so you can surrender it. Once it's surrendered, then you won't have the problem that this guy had with the bitterness and wanting to make things about himself. And I can struggle with that. I struggle with making things about me. But this isn't about me.
Right.
It's not. The more that it's not about me, the better things go.
That's right.
Something I learned at PAC is that when I can surrender something and I know that I'm not thinking about it anymore, God's got it.
Yeah.
Right. And when he's got it and I'm ready with the outcome, then I know it'll do exactly what it needs to.
Right.
So let's grow in a deeper partnership with God. That it's not God has told you to do something. It's like, no, I want to do what he wants me to do. We're together with this.
Yeah.
And if there's things in the way of that, talk about it. Get help with it. Pray about it. Pray about it some more. Pray about it some more.
Right.
Fast. Get it out of your life so that you can experience your master's happiness! Exclamation point.
Yeah. Hey, Daryl.
Amen.
Well, let's give it up for Daryl one more time.
Yeah!
You want to stand and sing one last song before we close out here? Alex is going to lead us.
Alex.
Praises around the world. Come on, bro.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Praises heard around the world.
Oh, yeah, we heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Commentary.
Those who love have saved us.